It's the Playbook with Satyar Shah and John Jang on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Germany is out. The Germans did not get it done. They win the World Cup in 2014, fail to get out of the group. Same thing happened to Spain in 2010. Same thing happened to Italy after they won the World Cup. It seems like teams that win the World Cup in the 2000s just can't get through the group stage the next time around. We have Jonathan Johnston from ESPN FC joining us right now. Jonathan, your reaction to the mighty Germans failing to make it out of the group stage?
Hey there, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, absolutely crazy. Once Germany got the win over Sweden the other day, I think many people thought, you know, that was the big scare over, that this run of defending champions going out in the group stage is going to come to an end. And then this happens. I mean, it's just, yeah, I mean, very, very unexpected. But it did seem to sort of becoming sort of like progressively probable the more that the two matches went on. I mean, you saw Sweden moving into the lead against Mexico and ending up winning very comfortably, and Germany just, you know, never really looked like they were going to be able to put the ball in the net. It seemed like everything was conspiring against them. And it's a fantastic story and a huge shock at the same time, you know, because it proves that the magic of the World Cup is still very much alive. This and the Argentina's late triumph against Nigeria last night. I mean, I think that the last 24 hours of the World Cup have probably been the most entertaining of this competition so far.
You mentioned it. Argentina just barely got through yesterday. We saw Germany not get through today. Brazil isn't guaranteed anything before ahead of their match, which gets going in about 25 minutes. Is this a case of just an anomaly year where these top superpower countries are having a tough time? Or are we seeing that gap between the best and the lesser likes being closed a bit because of the quality we're seeing from other countries, especially for teams? I mean, even Iran, they have a bunch of guys that play in Europe and are successful. It seems like that gap isn't as wide as it once was.
No, absolutely not. And I also think that, you know, what counts for a lot is, you know, how much importance a lot of these players for these smaller teams place on playing for their country. I think a lot of the time, you know, they're playing through pride, passion, you know, and just the sheer desire to represent their country in the best light possible. And that enables some of these smaller teams who on paper, you know, don't have the quality to match up against some of these bigger countries, to manage to pull off these impressive results. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that really makes the World Cup a very special competition. You know, it's almost unlike any other. Its unifying power is impressive, but also the ability to sort of get these footballers to play way above their normal standards as well.
England has been off to a pretty good start here, of course, led by the power and dominance of Harry Kane, but they are going to be going up against Belgium here in a bit. And is that about to be a crash course to reality, or could this really truly be a special year for England and something that we generally say every 4 years?
And I think it could quite easily go either way. And Belgium have also looked very good so far this tournament. But I do think that this is a very talented young generation of English players that Gareth Southgate has available to him at the moment, and he's the right coach to sort of keep them well grounded, and you know, perhaps take them on a deep run in the tournament. I think the winner of that game will be indicative of which team will probably go further. I think that England have an advantage in the fact that I think a couple of Belgian players are already going to be missing because they picked up Knox over the first two matches in the group stage, but it, you know, it does look a lot brighter for England than it has done over many previous editions of the competition, and I think that at this moment in time, when you have somebody like Harry Kane in the form that he's in, they picked up a free scoring win in the second group match against Panama. If they can sneak a victory against Belgium and come out of the group stage having won all of the matches, even if, you know, in theory it does benefit them probably a bit more to maybe finish second. I think they can go really far. And, you know, we could potentially be looking at the winners there, but at the same time, you could say that maybe about, you know, the likes of France as well, even though they haven't gotten off to the best of starts just yet and they're still warming up.
Right. And is there something to be said about teams having to face a little bit of adversity along the way? I mean, Germany was undefeated through the qualifiers, and they certainly stubbed their toe, and they're out. Sweden, for example, had to go all the way up into the end of their qualifiers and beat Italy, and now they are on top of that group. Is there something about testing your mettle early and being able to play with that passion, whereas, you know, a heavyweight favorite like Germany, they kind of just maybe expected to slide and cruise through the group stage?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, you look at somebody like Sweden, essentially going through at Germany's expense. I don't think that you can replicate the sort of mental strength that Sweden have had to develop over the last couple of months in qualification. You know, they were in the same qualification group as France, which saw the Netherlands fall by the wayside at Sweden's expense, and Sweden had to get past Italy in the playoffs, and then you get into a group stage, you come up against the likes of Germany and Mexico, and you know, to be able to go through in the way that they did in the end, topping the group is very impressive. And I think that the challenges that they faced along the way made them stronger mentally. That and the fact that I also think that in the particular case of somebody like Sweden, they were strengthened by the fact that they're playing more as a team now with Zlatan Ibrahimovic out of the picture. But I definitely think there's something to be said for being tested in qualification and then being given a tough group as well.
We are in conversation with Jonathan Johnson from ESPN FC here on Sportsnet 650, and it's a pleasure having you on the show, Jonathan. I love this conversation. And as far as Brazil and Serbia goes today, Brazil hasn't been at their best either. What do you expect to see from the Brazilians today?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're probably going to see, you know, quite a few nerves. I doubt that the Brazilian players have been sheltered so much from what's going on elsewhere in the tournament that they don't know and taking to the pitch in a while that, you know, Germany have gone out. I think the Brazilians will be wary, the fact that they could be the next big shock in this competition. That said, I think they looked like they were warming up in their second match against Costa Rica. It was a surprise to see them be held by Switzerland in the opening match, even though there were bigger surprises along the way in the first couple of matches of the group stage. And I think that the Serbia team, you know, may well be spurred on by what happened losing late on against Switzerland, always a controversial clash, that one, for political reasons. And I think that, you know, it has the makings of a potential giant killing, this one, for sure. And Brazil will want to make sure that that's not going to happen and try to put it to bed as early as possible. And I think we've seen him going into the tournament, that this is one of those matches where Neymar really has to embrace his role as the talisman of this Brazil side.
And, you know, the other match that we're going to see from Group H, of course, Senegal, Colombia, Japan, and Poland. Colombia and Senegal were two countries I kept a really close eye on ahead of this World Cup. And how do you see that matchup going? Because that one could be a really interesting one too, Jonathan.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't think anyone really expected Colombia to lose their opening match against Japan. So, you know, that really changed the complexion of the group. And I think when you look at individually some of the players that Senegal boast, they were seen as potential dark horses to get out of that group. I mean, I wouldn't say that many people, tipped them to sort of go on a deep run in the competition. But it is very interesting because there's a lot of quality in both sides, and obviously added importance going into this one, considering the way that the other results have gone. And I'm particularly interested in this group as well because I was curious to see how Japan would do before the tournament because of their late coach change ahead of the competition. And it's proved to be an intriguing group. And you know, like I said, I think these past 24 hours have arguably been the best in the World Cup so far, and I think that this excitement could be sustained over the next couple of days with the matches that we still have left to go before the group stages are over.
Jonathan, just so you know, like I'm a South Korean, and my co-host Sat here, he's Iranian and Swedish, so we're both quite ecstatic, and we're riding the highs of highs. Sat obviously with Team Sweden advancing and winning the group, like we're ecstatic about how all the things turned out, but as we try and look ahead here and bust out the crystal ball, do you think we'll see more upsets in this tournament 8 years from now when FIFA does expand to a 48-team tournament in 2026? I mean, we understand not every nation and not every team is going to be of quality, but then again, that's the beauty of a surprise and the beauty of being an underdog.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can argue that it's going to make it more of a, you know, more of a global competition, you know, and it is the World Cup after all. So, so having as many nations and parts of the world represented as possible is always going to be a good thing. I do agree with that point about the quality perhaps being diluted. But at the same time, it depends on the way that the competition is organized, because going back to one of the points from earlier in this conversation is that sure, for some of these countries, playing at a World Cup is such a big deal. It's of such great importance that it enables the players, even if they might be limited technically, to play well above their normal standards. Okay, it helps a bit that some of the bigger teams perhaps drop down to the level of their opponents a bit when they come up against them. I find that only really happens in the opening match, because after that, some of the bigger sides get shocked by their opening results and then have to raise their game. You know, and it's really intriguing to see which ones can and which ones can't. And I think we'd see more of that in an expanded World Cup. But like with anything, you know, there are pros and cons of it, and you know, it would be very interesting to see, you know, how the World Cup goes in 2026. You know, when it's held essentially across, you know, three different countries, even if it's in the same part of the world. So. You know, I think there's a lot to look forward to if the World Cup does expand, but at the same time, you know, people should also make the most of it in its current format, because as it's proving this summer, you know, it's still one of the most exciting and unifying competitions, you know, in football.
He is Jonathan Johnson with ESPN FC. Check him out on John_LeGossip on Twitter. Great stuff, Jonathan. A pleasure getting you on the show. Really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll get you on again as a tournament progresses, and enjoy these matches coming up this afternoon.
Sportsnet 650.